Broadcasting live from the beautiful Renaissance Atlanta Waverly Hotel and Convention Center, it's TyCon Southeast 2014. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor broadcasting live from the Waverly Hotel, TyCon Southeast. We just finished the morning session, and we got to hear from the founders of AirWatch and Manhattan Associates. It was a great talk between those two. A couple of people that have founded billion-dollar companies, shockingly, had a lot of interesting things to say. And right now I'm excited to have with me Mike Hirsch, an angel investor who's plugged into Atlanta and the Thai community. Welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
Now, how did you enjoy the talk this morning?
I thought it was an excellent discussion. I felt like I was part of the discussion itself. It was very free-form, casual, honest, fun, and entertaining, and very insightful.
Right. I thought there was, I saw a lot of people around me taking pages and pages of notes. It was like a college class on starting and running a business. It was a great talk. Now, you've been here in Atlanta for a little bit, and you've been involved in the entrepreneur scene. How are you seeing it going nowadays?
I think the scene here gets stronger and stronger. The community itself, and I'm speaking about the entrepreneurial community, has more people in it. There's more money coming in it. We have more expertise. We have more accelerators and incubators and more excitement. But one of the things that's notable about today's meeting in particular is a lot of the successful companies here have been somewhat outside
right.
of the community, and they've been successful because of what Atlanta in particular and Thai helps bring together that's outside of what some of us consider the traditional ecosystem.
Now, are you seeing that there's more and more people who are maybe exiting and staying here rather than exiting and kind of leaving Atlanta?
Definitely, for lots of reasons. It's a great place to be, obviously, once you get settled here. But I also think there's an incredible amount of talent here, and people recognize that there's a lot more here than when you leave the country and go mm-hmm. to other locations. There's a lot more going on in Atlanta, and it's an easy place to live. And it's a nice place to live.
And some of the drivers that make Atlanta attractive, would you say the university system, that would be one? Is there any other things that you think are important when you're trying to build a thriving entrepreneurial climate?
There's several things. First and foremost, it's a relatively pro-business place to do business at. It's got a relatively low cost of living, which makes it relatively easy to attract and retain people. But perhaps most importantly, there's a lot of scale here. You heard today about the growth of these companies. You know, there's really two kinds of ways we think about startups. One is how many startup companies, are created, mm-hmm. and then how do they grow and how successful are they? And what you heard here today in the two examples in particular is Atlanta is a good place to grow companies rapidly if you've got a good idea. It's easy to retain people. You don't have to lose, your software developers in particular. And it's just and there's plenty of talent, and there's a lot of management talent here as well.
Now, how long have you been involved with the Thai community?
I got involved with them when I first moved here back in '99, and I've been involved on and off over the last 15 years.
And just the Atlanta chapter, or have you been involved in other Thai chapters?
Just the Atlanta chapter.
And what has your experience been? When you first got involved with them, was it more Indian American centric?
It definitely was.
And now you've seen the slight pivot on their part to make it a more diverse group?
Absolutely. They've broadened out quite a bit. I think they recognized that was critical to being successful in business. And as they got more and more significantly material in terms of what they brought to the community, they naturally broadened out.
Mm-hmm. Now, you spend some of your days working as an angel investor. Is that right?
That's correct.
So now, do you have any tips or tricks for a budding entrepreneur on how best to get on your radar, and what are some of the right things to say and what are some of the wrong things to say to you if they're trying to get an angel to invest in them?
It's less about what you say as to how you approach things. Do you come at it from, first of all, recognizing what you bring to the table mm-hmm. and recognizing what you don't bring to the table and what you need to get? If you start there, then you're in a pretty good place because that means that you're open and receptive to input, mm-hmm. and that's probably one of the most important things you look for.
Coachability,
just listening skills. I mean, if you're going to be successful in business, you've got to be able to listen to your customers and understand what's needed, in addition to having a vision and a drive and passion. That's the combination and balance of both. And so that's what you're really looking for from a personality perspective.
Now, as an angel investor, do you specialize in certain niches and industries, or are you just looking for good opportunities?
I tend to focus on either the software space, which is pretty broad, or financial services, which is also broad.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this market here in Atlanta, are you seeing more angel investors?
There are more angel investors. I think there are. I think there's always been more here than what people realize. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of quiet folks that are off the radar. I think you're seeing people come together more than they used to in the community. But there is more angel investments coming into this area. It's still less so than other parts of the country, and I still think it has some upside potential, certainly.
Now, what's your take on crowdfunding? Because Georgia is one of the few states that have this crowdfunding initiative going on.
Yeah, I've got mixed emotions on it. I think for certain kinds of businesses, I think it's great, so I definitely support the notion. I myself am not certain if all the investors out there would understand what they need to do, and I think it's going to take some time to see how that plays out in the marketplace.
Now, I was reading something. Some guy had an interesting thoughts about crowdfunding in that they'll allow anyone to go to Las Vegas and just empty their bank account there, but they are a little more hesitant for doing the same thing with investing in a company. How do you kind of marry those two disparate thoughts?
Well, Vegas, I've heard that as well, and it's a really good way of looking at it. Vegas is a couple of things. One, it's entertainment. And then there's the notion as part of that entertainment, maybe I can make some money. But I think most folks understand the risks that they're taking in some way.
But they have a system.
They understand the game, right? When it comes time to investing in a business, people are oftentimes taking the money they otherwise might put in a stock market, for example, or a bank account. It's no longer entertainment. And they're actually putting substantial life savings there. So, and it's a complicated thing. To understand the nuances of investing, it takes time. Even if you're an MBA, unless you know that space, there's a lot of things that you can get hurt on that you don't realize.
So that's why the crowdfunding regulations are trying to limit the amount of money that an individual can put into these crowdfunding opportunities? That's part of it, right?
That's what's behind it. I don't particularly like regulation. I don't know that that's the right way to do it. But I do think that the education is important, mm-hmm. and transparency is always important. And whenever you are making a purchase or making an investment, it's important that you understand what it is that you're getting. And in this particular case, it takes some time to understand the kinds of things you can do. And so my own personal perspective would be it'd be great to offer a 4 or 5 hour kind of baseline course for people to take. And then once they took a course and understood things, go ahead, go. I don't really want to regulate it, but I would like to invite people to let them know that you can think something's a good situation and not understand structurally you're not in the same place that some others might be.
So you think education's more important than net worth, because that's kind of the thing now. Like if you have a certain amount of money, you're allowed, they assume that you're savvy enough to discern between a good investment.
Yeah, there is a correlation there, but I think understanding is more important than net worth. I would agree with that.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
You're welcome. Take care.
This is Lee Cantor. We'll be back in a few at Ticon Southeast.